There are times in life when we stand on the edge of great expectation. Some of those moments are things that are very personal. And sometimes they're rites of passage type of moments, like graduation, or a wedding, or the birth of a child. And I think about all that we expect, and all that we want, and all that we hope for at those moments. And even more so, all that our loved ones and our family hope for us and want for us at those moments. I've been particularly thinking about weddings because my long-term single friend, who's 32, and never had a girlfriend that was serious. I mean, he dated people, but, you know, he'd never even admit he was dating. He's like, yeah, we're friends. Is finally going to propose to the woman in his life who has just hit him between the eyes. They've only been dating for 6 months, and he is starstruck. They're on a trip to Italy right now because he works for an organization where he has to do group tours, and he is on one of those group tours, and she is part of that group, and he's decided that he was going to propose to her in Italy. How exciting, how wonderful. Now, we were talking to him on the phone before he was leaving, and just all of the expectation and all of the energy and all of the thoughts that were going into that moment. And then those thinking of the future and what their marriage would be like together. And William said to Joe, my husband, any words of advice? Impatient. And I think, you know, what would you all say if I stood before you with William and said, okay, now tell him what marriage is going to be like? All of the things, and, you know, even more so when it's someone we really love and care about. Someone like Alex, who you all know, or most of you know and cherish, what you would like to be able to share with him about marriage. Our own kids, what we hope for them at that moment in time. I know when I sit down and do premarital counseling with couples, they're so in love. And they just sit there and they just stare at each other. And you really want to say, that's great, but love is so much more. Do you really know about the path you're taking? Oh, to tell you all that you will experience and all that you will know. It won't be like anything you imagined. It won't be anything that I can even share with you in words. Have you had those moments in life when someone you really cared about and really loved was embarking on a new adventure? They were graduating from high school or college. They were getting married. Or perhaps have you all experienced recently your daughter and son-in-law with their new baby? What you would like to be able to share, all the hopes that you have, if you could just bundle them up and hand them to them. You know it's not going to be completely easy. There's going to be times of trial. But if you could just let them know that those are some of the most beautiful moments. Some of the times when the love grows unbelievably. Mildred was sharing with us in women's group that when her and Carl stood before you and you sang happy anniversary to them for their 56th anniversary. Now, you're someone that could tell us a lot about what persons are embarking on. What even I have in front of me after 12 years of marriage, what is left to experience and to know. But Mildred said, when she stood up here, the thing she said to you all was, it wasn't easy. And everybody laughed. But she was serious. Not serious that she hadn't had an incredible marriage. She has. Her and Carl, I think, from the little bit I've gotten to know, are two very special people that have a special marriage. But so much has gone into that that you never probably thought would happen. You never had any clue what it would be like when you stood at that altar and took those vows. for better, for worse. Had no clue what worse was going to look like. Had no clue how beautiful worse could become. For better? Wow. You thought you knew what better was, didn't you? But you found out it's so much more. Wouldn't it be wonderful if those people who have had long years of successful marriage, long years of successful life, long years of successful parenting, wouldn't it be wonderful if they could pour all of that knowledge into us? There's a sense as we come and approach our scripture this morning, that is just what Paul is trying to do in this prayer that he's praying. The one thing that most scholars agree about with Ephesians is that the book wasn't a letter to the Ephesians. It was actually probably more likely a letter that Paul wrote to circulate throughout the churches of Asia Minor. So this prayer we read is not simply a prayer for the church at Ephesus. It's a prayer for the churches of Asia Minor. Perhaps we might even extend it as a prayer for all Christians at all times and all generations. That makes it a prayer for us. In this prayer, Paul is asking that everything that he knows is possible, the wonder of walking and living in Christ, be diminished or be given to these churches and these people and these Christians he loves so much. He asks that according to the riches that God has, that he would give them strength in their inner being with power through the Holy Spirit. So often, we present ourselves as kind of a false self, someone that we are comfortable letting people know. And yet inside us, there is another person, a person that is who we truly are, that we don't let out to everyone, that we don't risk with. And it's that person that God has created us to be, that through the Holy Spirit we can be strengthened. And we can live the life and be the person that God has intended. That's the first thing that Paul prays for. Secondly, he prays that Christ might dwell in their hearts. And the Greek word for dwell here is not like a temporary passing through visitor. It's a permanent resident. That Christ might be a permanent resident in their life, with them through thick and thin, through everything. Not just someone they think about when things are going rough or when they show up at church on Sunday, but someone who is with them through it all. He also prays that they be rooted and grounded in love. Now, rooted comes from botany, and grounded comes from architecture. But they are both words that speak of stability, that we would be stable in love. In rooted, there's also that sense of nourished. The nourishment comes through the roots, that we would be nourished in love. And the foundation of all that we are and all that we do would be grounded, would be set upon that love. He goes on to say, to pray that they would have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of God's love. Now those words ought to be pretty familiar to you, because that is in that chorus that we sing, that praise and worship song that we sing so often. It's already become one of my favorites, that we would know the breadth, how wide God's love is. How many persons that it encompasses. The length of God's love. how far it will go for us. It's unending line that takes us even into eternity. The height of God's love that goes to the very throne room of God and can take us with it. The depth of God's love. Paul will later say, if Christ ascended, what does that mean? But that he also descended into hell. The love is so deep, it will go even to hell for us. And if it can do that, this love can go to the deepest, darkest, most despairing moments of our life, of our world, of our church. An interesting phrase is thrown in there, that we would know this with all the saints. Now, when we think of saints, we often think of persons who are very holy, who have already died and gone on to heaven. Saints really doesn't mean that in the New Testament. It more means Christian, followers of Christ, disciple. Saints would have been used for everyone who followed Christ. And so there's a sense that he's asking for this to happen with all of those who follow Christ. Perhaps it is because to really truly know the broad dimensions of God's love, to know how wide it is, to know how high it is, to know how low it will go, that we have to be in relationship with other Christians. That is something that can only happen in community of faith. Each of us brings our finite, our itty-bitty, teeny-weeny little experience of God's love, what God's love has done for us. And then we hear and we share what God's love has done in other lives, and we begin to realize that it's bigger than us. It's bigger than we ever imagined. It can do things we never thought of. He also prays that they would have the power to comprehend and know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. To know the unknowable, it's paradoxical. It's impossible. How can you know the unknowable? But Paul prays that that would be true for them. What could be more unknowable than to know God himself? And that is Paul's prayer, that they would know God. And in knowing God, and in experiencing the fullness of God's love, that they might be filled with the fullness of God. Paul gets to the point of this prayer, that they might have intimacy with God, that they might fully know God and be fully known, that knowledge that surpasses all knowledge. I went to a premarital counseling workshop, and one of the things that they shared with us in this workshop was that married couples, out of every four that get married, only one of those couples will truly achieve intimacy, will truly relate to each other on that personal, mystical level, where you can talk to each other and you actually know what each other's talking about, where you can share the deepest, darkest recesses of your soul and know that that person that you're talking to understands, where they can share it with you and not overwhelm you. That kind of intimacy that I can't even think of words for. But only 20% of couples get there. Most of them settle for a relationship that's a lot less. And I got to thinking about this prayer, and what Paul is praying for is that kind of level of intimacy with God. And I got to wondering, how many Christians, how many churches, how many communities of faith really achieve intimacy with God? And how many settle? For simply coming to church and singing favorite hymns. For hearing familiar scriptures that are comforting. And for longing for something that seems unobtainable. The really amazing thing about this prayer is that Paul prays that God would do this for us out of the riches he has. God already has this ability. God has all of these things to share with us. It's just a matter of us allowing them in. By the power at work within you is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. If you can imagine a closer walk with God, if you can ask for more intimacy with God and think that you have some picture of what that is, according to this prayer, it is even bigger. And that in this prayer, Paul is praying for the ultimate, that we would be filled with all that God is, that we would be remade in the image, that we would have that bond and that closeness of love. And then it's possible. He prays it because it's possible. And it's not just possible for those early Christians, but it's possible for us as well. Because there's a sense where we're named in this prayer when it says, for all generations, to all generations. And when it talks about with all the saints, we're part of that community. This is possible for us. This could be our reality. How? Did you notice who does all of the work in this prayer? In what Paul is asking for? Did you notice? Did you notice who the actor is? Who does the verbs? Who does the action? It's not us. It's God. That God would grant. That God would dwell. That God would give us the power, that God would fill us. What's our part? To open ourselves up to the possibility. To not settle for less. But to come before God in prayer, in worship, in community, in fellowship, with great expectation. Great expectation that God can do more, greater things than we can ask or we can imagine. One of my favorite contemporary Christian artists is Stephen Curtis Chapman, and he wrote a song that is mostly based on this scripture and this prayer. And the chorus of the song, to me, sums this up so well. We've been invited to come. To believe the unbelievable, to receive the inconceivable, and to see beyond our wildest imagination. Lord, we come with great expectations.